Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Join our party line now. 1-800.
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Super big dick energy.
Super. But
did you have fun?
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
I was exhausted.
Is 2/6 of the funniest gay comics.
Bisexual.
America's favorite bisexuals.
Is pussy work or pussy work?
Everybody this... pussy work! Yeah, pussy work! Yeah, pussy work!
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
We think this juice stuff is very funny.
All right, so
especially when you think about it, there's no good reason that Bird and Aladdin would get along.
I'll peck your eyes out.
Oh, God damn.
You goddamn mongrel.
No.
Oh, oh my God. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the last
Man,
episode.
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Tell him I'm fucking coming!
Hello, America. Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. This is Chris Paul.
I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
Here with Jeremy Shear.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
Tabitha Jones.
Where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt, you idiot?
And Kyle Honhorst.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove. But I can't see the stove.
You nailed, like, something was going to come out. Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. Here's what you get today. It's me, Chris. And... Jeremy.
Yeah, that's me.
Jeremy's here.
Sorry, I'm no Tabitha Jones, everybody.
Tabitha's out.
I will, I'll try to make do. I am trying to take up more room on the chair than usual.
Tabitha and, Dylan are out of town, blowing their way through the, Jonestown Massacre.
Yep.
Is that their name?
The Brian Jonestown.
Brian Massacre. Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah. They're a very good band, apparently.
That's what I, my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. What have we been up to? it's been a busy month.
Yeah. So, what have we been up to? Sad Boys did a bunch of shows. Chris did the taping with us and kicked ass at it, and we had our second show at the Odeon with the Ad Hominem Attack Show. It went really, really well. And next month is Rubber City Comedy Festival, so we're getting ready for that.
Oi! Oi! I don't think, I was trying to remember if Tabitha and I we had talked about the roast battles yet, but we haven't recorded since then. That was last weekend, right? As of this
yeah.
recording?
Yeah, it is.
A week
shit.
Ago?
Yeah.
It's already been a week.
This is,
time flying by when yeah. you're killing it.
Yeah. Exactly. When you're killing it, time flies. Yeah, it was cool. I got to talk a little bit about the battles on WCSB the night after.
And okay.
That's always fun because, like, Keith's a fan. So it's like he's
yeah.
not – he's got a different perspective on it than, like, we would. So
yeah. And he – I mean, he knows the people just from coming to the show mostly.
Yeah.
And a few of – there's – he knows a few of us from doing his show, but
– yeah.
Not everyone.
So that's a fun time for me. But, yeah, man, the battles were real good this month. So, but that crowd was fantastic.
Yeah.
They're the VIPs.
Yeah. A lot of repeat, a lot of people that have been there before.
Yeah. It's good that people are getting it because, like, when everybody gets it and, like, everybody's good, you're not going to find a better show in town. And I will stand by that.
Yeah, we're good. We're very good at it.
I would say being egotistical about it is earned at this point. We have been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't like myself a lot. So if I'm saying that I'm good at something,
yeah,
it's because I'd be lying otherwise.
That's pretty much where I'm at.
Believe me, if I could shit on myself, I'll take the opportunity.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, fantastic. Another 20 minutes about why I'm terrible. This this will make me tens of dollars.
You know, I find out people don't like me. I'm like, yeah, well, I got it in surround sound, motherfucker.
You don't like me. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Tell you what this fucking dude gets up to.
Yeah, man.
I did the joke on some Bill Squires the make 'em ups.
Make 'em ups?
Yeah, the make up jokes tonight show. I can't
stand to deliver. Yeah.
That I sometimes I fake an orgasm when I'm jerking off. Just so, like, in hope that I go to sleep before we start talking.
That's good.
So, if I'm saying, hey, I killed. I killed.
Yeah. Like, we have a very good idea of who we are, so... We're not delusional.
All too well.
Yeah.
So the actual battles, Joe is still champion.
Joe is champ.
He just keeps retaining the shit out of that belt.
Yeah, yeah. He's, it's real weird because there's really, Joe has like a completely unique thing going on with him just in the way he approaches it and the way that he delivers jokes. And his general attitude, it's so fucking bizarre, but it works really well.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah.
He's like one of the a movie villain that's like real calm and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine getting roasted by Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Without the accent and... more of a stoner.
Stoned Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
With doing like a maybe Cleveland, a little more flat effect.
Doing a Cleveland accent. Yeah, a little less emotive.
Yeah. But, yeah, he fucking, like, doing a 3-round battle every month is not easy.
Yeah.
And he has managed to...
And we've thrown people at him that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And
because, like, he did not know Amanda, and they did not talk before the battle, which is how you get stinky vagina jokes. But, you know, that is what it is.
These are all usually better when people know each other.
Yes.
But then it makes it harder to mix it up.
Yeah, because you got to mix it up. But yeah, they are better when you know each other because, like, you have a better idea of what boundaries you can approach, and it seems more. The conceit of all of this is of comedy in general is that the audience wants to think that we're all friends.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
But I think it just because it, like, it makes it feel more like they're part of it.
Yeah.
If we're all like part of the same thing, and
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why you have to hang out after shows, is because part of the audience experience is, like, they want to hang out with you and shit.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
But, yeah.
Because, like...
It causes trouble sometimes.
Yeah, it's like...
It can.
It's like, yeah, no, this is great when you're laughing at me, but I don't want to hear about your political opinions.
Oh, yeah. I was in line behind this old man at the bank that was like this poor girl, the woman that was the bank teller. He was just going on and on about how Zelensky's bad because he's getting his people killed.
Jesus.
And she's like, I think he just wants to stay as his own country. And he's just... Blah, 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 blah.
Ugh. Well, you gotta throw that out there, people, man. Like, we're just trying to go to the bank.
Yeah. Or, you know.
It's not... There's a reason that you have to talk to strangers about this. It's because no one wants to hear this.
Yeah. We're just in the attic after the show. We're just trying to, like, wink at each other and be like, we killed it. Mm. This was good.
Yeah. This is good. Now let's go home and, like, try to hold on to this for a couple of days.
Yeah. Until we crash.
Mm.
And then stay in the house for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all these shows we had, like a lot of momentum and, like, a lot of, like...
And then just 2 weeks of everyone being like, I'm not in a good place anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, please fuck off. I'm tired of pretending that I have it together.
Yeah, I just, this morning, like, I had piles of clothes everywhere. Mm. It's like, oh, this is how I end up crazy.
Yeah. I've got, like, Indian food and cigarette butts.
It's called Guardian food now.
Oh, sorry. I got some some Guardian food, and I didn't have time to pick anything up before I left, so I should probably throw that out.
You're always about 6 bites of anything from shitting yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, like, it's... But it's weird because, like, I get the vegetarian Indian food, and that's, yeah, like, danger, danger. But, like,
you know those
the
fountains?
Punjab chicken? It's good.
Those fountains where they're, like, spewing out the water, and it lands in the thing, and they're, like, just, like, it's the same water that keeps running through them.
Yeah.
It's basically how you eat and shit.
Yes, the sewage goes from my place to the Indian place around the corner. From
you're like the centerpiece of a human centipede all on your own. No surgery required.
Nope. No surgery required. I just eat garbage.
I don't know, man. We it's been a good month, and then we have more things we're working on.
Yeah.
Doing stuff.
We're always working on stuff. And, yeah, Sad Boys is trying to get a couple things put together. And, yeah, the Rubber City Comedy Festival is going to be amazing. I'm going tomorrow to check out the setup at Pharmacy for us, so... I know what we're walking into, and yeah, we will bring that vibe to Highland Square.
Shout out to our very own Hansi.
Hansi out there on the streets.
Kaizy Han Horsey.
As we speak.
How come we've never used Han Horst?
I don't know.
Kaizy Han Whore.
Because Kyle doesn't have a lot of whore tendencies.
Kyle doesn't... I mean, nobody works as hard as Kyle.
True.
And he runs 2 festivals.
Yeah.
He does a lot of the booking for Ad Hom.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle works real hard. It's...
feeds kids.
Yeah, but I think that's more he's fattening up his future food sources.
he's like the witch from Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, except he's operating on a much larger scale. Like, you don't like push 350 for like 20 years without like eating some kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you point. Know, that's where the real problem in comedy is. It's these fat fucking comedians that can't stop eating children.
You know what kind of jokes I can never do again on stage?
What's that?
Cannibalism.
Really?
Yeah, I can't do it. I have access to human bodies. I don't need that going around.
Yeah. It's like, your Chris Paul eats the people that picks up. But in all seriousness, Dave Herron, Chris Harvey, and the rest of those fat motherfuckers all eat babies. Tim Buck took his shirt off at the Cleveland Comedy Festival to let everybody know that, you know, all those stretch marks are one child that he has consumed.
Have you ever heard that street joke? What's the difference between a dead baby and an apple?
Well, I don't know. What is the difference between
I don't come on an apple after I eat it.
I see. I was going to say, an apple doesn't scream when you cut into it. But...
Well, dead babies don't scream.
I mean...
Nothing dead screams. I'll just make a generalization.
All right. That's
They will go...
Yeah.
In the dark at 3 a.m. That sucks.
I like the fact that you have a scary job.
It's occasionally scary. The scariest thing that's happened is there's this lady that lives in one of the funeral homes. And she snuck up on me in the fucking dark one night.
Yeah. And you didn't fuck her.
No, I went,
Well, you didn't have a chance to fuck her after that.
No, she was terrified. I was too. But I was complaining about it to another guy that told me that he's walked into like the morgue where this is a very busy place. There's sometimes like 10, 15 bodies in there, and this lady's just standing in there in the dark and going like, oh, I didn't mean to scare you, but she did. No one lurks around a fucking morgue in the dark that isn't trying to scare people. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I would live in the morgue if they let me smoke.
I mean, there's like an apartment within the building. Like, there's closed off sections. She lives in one of those, but she's always worried about the lights and stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely. That me living in a morgue definitely sends the right message.
To who?
Whoever wants to come over.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nothing. None of the gross shit bothers me. It's just like when they're my age or something, or if their feet aren't covered. The first fucking thing I do is wrap their feet because I can't look at dead feet.
Can't look at dead feet, huh?
No, it's the one thing that skeeves me out.
Hmm.
They can have their like chest like cut up like the autopsy bodies we get, and like all the organs are back in there like a turkey, like in a bag sometimes.
Delicious.
The organ donor bodies are fun. They're like Gumby. They take the major bones out of their arms and legs. But yeah, just like if the feet are like not covered, I can't. It drives me insane.
That is a weird issue to have. But
whatever it is about feet, it grounds things in reality for me.
I see.
Like, so, Quentin Tarantino movies are very realistic.
Send your dead feet pics to Chris Paw.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why. They're the first part that get where the skin gets super dry, and when you have to prep them for the embalmer, you have to take the socks off really slow, or else a puff of dead skin,
yeah,
will come and you will inhale it and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's already a fucking creepy part to me. And then when you add that to it, It's yeah.
I can understand. I would not want to be assaulted with feet dust all the time.
If they were like pull that brain out or take those socks off, I would rather pull the brain out.
Hmm. Well, all right.
They never tell me to take a brain out. I'm just saying mm-hmm. if they did.
Yeah.
Although I did have to hold a guy's head so they could drain fluid from his eyeball one time. That was pretty dope.
It sounds dope.
Yeah.
You get to hold a head.
I was, and, you know, just me
not
and
when it's wrapped around your dick for once.
Just me and the county coroner were kicking it, working on a thing.
Yeah. Collab.
Yeah, we were collabing on a on an autopsy.
Fun times, Chris Paw.
Yeah, I'm basically part of the CSI team at this point.
Yeah. We're going to just do a bunch of smash cuts and dubsteps over your day-to-day life and sell that to CBS.
It's not a bad idea. And do something in that vein.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I don't want to have to go back to getting a day job, but the times, they're fast approaching.
As it? It's coming.
It's coming. Unless I can sell something, which you never know. So,
sell some sperms.
I can't. I have a vasectomy.
You don't have to tell them.
They'll figure it out.
Like, it's not working. I don't know. It worked last time I used it.
Yeah. Shit.
Last when I left it there, it was not broke. So
it's the sperm bank equivalent of returning an empty DVD case to Blockbuster.
What's Blockbuster? You old fuck.
It's this place I used to work that was honestly a really good source of audience members. But man, I wish they had seen me like when I'm good at comedy and not when I was just starting.
Wow, there was still a Blockbuster when you started.
Yeah.
Sucking at comedy.
Yeah. No, man, it sucks because, like, I see, like, a lot of people that are doing the same dumb shit that I was doing when I first started. And yeah. I want to, like, go, hey, stop it. Like, you were wasting your time. But, you know, you can't tell people shit.
Yeah. Yeah, if you try, they don't listen anyways.
No. So it's like, I don't want to be another, like, old dude ranting about the good old days because... That ain't me.
Back in my day, do you know that was one of the most disappointing things I ever experienced was watching Tom Green's first stand-up special, and it was all just like him going like, well, we didn't have the internet when I was a kid.
Ugh.
And, yeah. Well, nowadays you have Facebook. Come on, Tom.
Mm.
Come on, Tom Green. You fuck Drew Barrymore. Get it together.
I mean, I think in order to fuck Drew Barrymore, you can't have it together. So.
Perfect.
That's where you got to shove you, buddy. Get some of that. We know somebody that was on that talk show.
On?
Barrymore's talk show.
Do we?
Yeah. I don't remember who.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember if it was an actor or if it was a comic. But I know somebody was on that show.
I wonder what she's up to these days.
I don't know.
I've been a fan ever since Batman Forever.
Fair enough.
You know, as an adult.
Ah.
An adult-type fan.
Right.
So she was also enjoyable as an actor in E.T. and Firestarter.
Oh, no, it just seemed like she, like, my sister will send me, like, messages sometimes, like, I had to describe what so-and-so was like to somebody, to my dad, and I was just like, he looks like somebody that would hang out with Jeremy, and Drew Barrymore always just struck me as somebody that, like, I would meet at church. The Unitarian Church. Like,
oh.
They got mad hippie shit going on there.
Yeah.
So...
Hmm. I would like to see how her last few movies have done. and then decide if I have a chance now.
I think her last big hit might have been 51st Date, so you might have a shot.
Wow, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
That is a while ago. I hope she invested.
Man.
I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. She comes from Hollywood royalty. She's fine.
I'm sure she's doing stuff that we just aren't cultured enough to know about, probably.
More than likely.
Foreign film. Flashing David Letterman in France.
Man, I remember that because I was a big Letterman fan.
Yeah.
And just look on his face.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at her, just her back and side boob. So let's run down the roast battles then.
Sure.
Tabzi and I had probably one of the best battles either of us have ever had for the sample round.
Yeah, you guys beat the shit out of each other. People were texting me about it afterwards saying how great you were. So.
Nice. Write their names down.
No.
And we had, who'd we have?
The first battle was Daniel Myers. The one person who has graduated from the Cleveland Comedy Festival's Class Clown Contest that has actually gone on to do stand-up around here.
As a young kid, did yes. he do this?
Yes.
He's probably about 20 now?
No, he's like early 20s or mid-20s.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, he came out of that Class Clown class, which is really funny to me. And then he faced the Dread Comic Roberts, Kevin Bain. Kevin Bain won, but Daniel Myers did have flowers delivered to Kevin's wife.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah. A little psyched him out a little bit.
Yeah. But, like, I was real worried because, like, you know, Daniel came correct. He was like, hey, I want to do this weird thing. And I was like, awesome. As long as, like, you get it done and I don't have to help you, do it. And, like, he did.
Yeah.
And I knew it was either, like, not going to work.
Was that the real delivery guy? Or
did he don't have... K5 the humanoids, buddy.
Huh?
Don't K5 the humanoids.
I don't know what that means.
It means, like, we don't have to, like, break the fourth wall here.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Looked like a delivery guy.
Yeah, it did. It looked like a delivery guy. He signed paperwork. He got flowers and delivered them. And it was really funny. And then Kevin tore him apart.
Yeah. I helped a little, but...
Oh, yeah. You busted out after a big old, like...
I'm going to say this. Roast jokes for me should be a little shorter.
Yeah.
He was going on for a very long time about how he'll roast everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And said, do I look like I drove out here to roast one person? And I said, no, you look like you drove out here for green eggs and ham.
Yeah. And like that completely threw him off because like everybody lost it. But yeah, like we need to have I said this outside, but we do need to have a discussion about it as a community about the difference between a joke and a bit. Cause guys, you're not doing jokes, you're doing bits.
Yeah, it's a loose format, but there's been a few times now where I've seen people that they're doing like three jokes in one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing like a full ass bit, and like you don't need to do a full ass bit. Like, I understand that you only have five jokes, but like, you know.
Work on those five.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Really hard. Because, like, even when we've had like longer joke writers, they haven't traditionally done well.
Yeah.
Like, we had Nick Glasser up here, and Nick, like, he's funny, but like, his jokes were way too fucking long.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and then like we've had people that just go like, "You look like a transsexual."
Yeah,
and that's not
what this
not
is.
Even a joke. I know it's like the beginning of most of the jokes is you look like, but right. That's,
but you look like a trans person is not like a joke.
I think to me in general in comedy, if you're going to use an existing format or, you know, something along those lines, you have to like really have a twist on it.
Yeah.
It's one of those like movie tropes. Like if you are going to make like a romantic comedy, you have to like at this point, you got to come up with like a fucking, you know, new setting or fucking something.
What I try to do is just like, you know, if I find an old thing that I want to play with, I was like, how can I make this like way worse than it already is?
Like way more hacky.
Way too long.
Or
I wrote a joke about Jeremy Demery that I scrapped. That was just about how his act gave me diarrhea, but it went on for like 2 minutes. About like how bad like the diarrhea was. But I cut it because like I did it in front of him because he wasn't going to be there. And it wasn't like hitting how I wanted, so. But yeah, I mean, you can twist things like, but for another example is like a joke that I did a couple of times, like when I was more, more of a free speech absolutist, if you will, was, just calling white dudes the N word.
Well, that's not clever.
No, but like, you know, the thought behind it was that like I've said this terrible word now as a shock word and associated them with shock. So it like works in that way, but it didn't work. It was just dumb. And like calling somebody trans just because is the same kind of deal.
Yeah.
And before you get all up in arms, like, let's not do the trauma Olympics with like black people and trans people because
and the gays. I mean,
this is Hitler's Olympics and we win.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that. Fuck Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
And anyway, but yeah, Kevin won and it was a good battle. We followed up with Jeremy Demery of Golden Ox Studios and Julia Mary, who from the Funny Bus and who played me at the taping. And Julia won. She like she was doing research on him like beforehand, and I sent her the podcast that he did with me and Jordan about like his business failing. So
her last joke was like
was all of the stuff that she listened to on the podcast like just thrown at him.
And you're a failure because you don't like your parents for this reason.
Yeah, it was really fucking funny because like it kind of came out of nowhere because she was doing these like little short,
it was like a psych analysis.
Yeah. She just completely broke him down. It was great.
I think if you're going to do something long, the joke has to be that this is long-winded.
Yeah, and that is what that joke accomplished. Little things that you can do in the joke to do that, like changing the speed in the middle of the joke so that people like get that, oh, this is a thing now. And she did that, so it was real good. Jeremy was good, too. Like, Jeremy is no fucking joke at this. Like, he's right. But, like, you know, it's real hard to beat a woman at this.
Unless you're Tim Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, yeah, he beat Alexa after, like, 3 sudden deaths.
Yeah, I don't like pushing the sudden deaths too many times. It's very diminishing returns. And anytime we can avoid it, I try to. But
well, if the crowd's vibing on the battle, man, like sometimes it's just what it is.
Yeah.
Because like,
well, also my co-judge last weekend, Tabitha, is always about the sudden death.
Mm.
Which I think is just she gets excited to scream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole, yeah.
And, oh, yeah, because that's fun as fuck.
Yeah. A little bit of RDP's legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill this man!
Yeah. But, man, Tim Wolf came in hot. And the fact of the matter is we had a bunch of people that have trans kids at the show. And, like, everybody was kind of, like...
Worried.
You know, worried. But those worries, like, I think the worry actually added to it. Because when you actually got the release of, no, this is actually funny, it was that much better.
Yeah.
And, like, it just, it everything really hit. Because Alexa's really good. Like, she writes, like, quick hits. And she went hard after Tim, and people were into it. But, like, Tim just fucking smoked her.
Yeah. We are, we try to be careful about what type of comics we put against each other. Because there's people that I would not invite to roast a trans person on our show. But, you know, it would also be shitty to just not have them participate to avoid someone being offended by a trans joke, I think.
No, it's shitty and to exclude them because somebody might get hurt.
Or only put them against, like, against women or like...
Yeah. No, it's like Tim knows how to write a fucking joke, so it was like, all right.
Yeah.
The
Alexa in my living room is a more convincing woman.
Yeah. So, like, it sucks because that's a great joke, but...
Don't tell me that's the only one that somebody was like, there.
No, Kyle wrote a joke about Alexa that I was going to do in the post-roast, but it was, Alexa, play Man, I Feel Like a Woman. But since there was already an Alexa joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But his was really good, so... not mad about it, but that was a real good Kyle joke that I was sad I didn't get to do.
Fuck. We forget how good Kyle is because we don't all get to, we don't battle that much anymore.
Yeah. It's, okay. I'm just going to say this. If you have run a roast show in the past and been like, I wonder if the ad hom people are upset about this. We're upset that you didn't ask us to be a part of it. It's like, we'd like to battle.
Like, yeah.
Ask us to battle. We'll fucking battle. Shit.
Yeah. I'm not upset. I just, I mean, we do.
No, I'm not upset at all. Do. I'm just saying, like, you know, I want to battle, but I'd rather write more jokes than, like, have to do battles, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Well, I'm going to say this. If Joe doesn't lose the belt next month, I'm pulling a Vince McMahon, and I'm just going to get in the ring. You know, I think I would say, like, the commissioner of roast battles is... probably Brian Moses, but in Cleveland.
Yeah. In Cleveland.
Ad hominem.
In Cleveland, you're the Gabe Sapolsky of roast battles. Yes.
I suppose Jeff Ross would technically be the Vince McMahon of roast battles in that he found a league that had nothing to do with him and brought it, portrayed himself as the owner on television.
We don't have a Jeff Ross here in Cleveland.
Yeah. Huge opportunity for them, though. I'm not, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just that,
I just think it's something people don't realize because they put his name in it on TV, Jeff Ross's roast battle.
Yeah.
But it was, they were running it for quite some time before that. It just,
and they were just like, oh, Jeff does all the Comedy Central roasts and tries to
more branding than anything.
Make roasting a thing on other, in other formats, and so yeah, it made sense.
Yeah.
And by the way, bumping mics is the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my entire life.
And they're also like, hey, what, you know, 45-year-old doesn't have a 15-year-old girlfriend?
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, if you want to be Hollywood, better pluck some kids.
Yeah.
Like, get on it.
It's gross, Jeff Ross. Tell him I said that.
Yeah, I'll do that next time I'm invited to the
I was talking to Chris Clem.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Chris Clem, while you're out there, please let the following people know they're gross.
You know. You know who.
Yeah.
Alexa and Tim, we also had... Was the
Bill Eckenrode versus Flemlove, which was a squash, but it was a good squash.
What do you mean by squash?
One-sided.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, no disrespect to Flemlove there, because Phil's really good. He's a former champ, and he, like, if you listen to him describe his process, he takes it as seriously as I do.
He's also a good defensive player.
Yeah.
Because he'll just go like, is that the joke?
Mm-hmm.
Are you done? Did you tell you?
Yeah, Phil.
Did you tell your little funny?
Yeah, Phil really let you know that you fucked up. And Flem's new, so like.
Yeah.
But he,
I think this is his second.
This is his second battle.
Maybe lost. Third.
No, I think we had him against Julia, and then we had him against Phil here.
Nope. He also, Jen.
Oh, yeah. He did Jen too. That's right. That was, I don't remember who won that.
Flynn.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I thought he won. Okay, yeah, because that's why we brought him back, because he won one. Yeah, man, it was real funny. I just, like, Flynn came up to me afterwards and apologized for losing, and I'm like, that's not what this is about. Like,
yeah.
Like, there was no way you were going to win that, but it was still good because, like, it happened.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you may have looked bad, but, like, the match was still good, and that's what's important.
Yeah. I think even if you have a battle where all your jokes bomb, like, it's just part of the, you know.
Yeah.
Like anything else.
It happens sometimes, but like,
we're not gonna not have people back unless they do some of the shit that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Like, you know, if trans is a punchline to you, then like, probably not a good idea to, you know, come on the show with three queer showrunners and do that. But you know, whatever.
Who are you calling a queer fuckface?
I'm calling you a queer.
I don't like it. It doesn't cover halfsies.
Man, it does. Like, there's discourse around like my nonsense too, so I get it.
I suppose it does. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
It does not. But so yeah, Phil won. Then Phil got super drunk, as Phil does.
Oh.
And then we had the main event was after that with Joe and Amanda from Pittsburgh, which this battle brought us quite possibly the most humiliating moment in the history of Cleveland roast battles, because we went to the crowd vote in the second round, and when
Kyle said, only clap for the person you think should win.
And clap for Amanda. Silence. Dead silence. And Amanda's mom. Her own mother didn't even clap for her. So, as bad as that looked,
yeah,
like
that I felt
really
bad because Tabitha was trying to get a sudden death,
yeah,
so she voted opposite me, but I went just by like the laughs that I could hear from the crowd. I like the reaction.
Yeah. Which, you know, part of me is like, is booking a Pittsburgh comedian in this environment going to automatically, you know, make things worse for them because of the football thing? But I've done like a couple of roast shows in Pittsburgh and that hasn't really come up.
Yeah.
And like we've had Amanda before and it hasn't really come up. So
yeah,
that wasn't it.
Amanda's great.
Amanda's funny. Very funny. And, you know, and
it's just, these are like, the roast battles are unpredictable. You write the jokes, you've never tried them out before.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like the same process as stand up.
So. No. No, there are assholes out there that'll try to run their roast battle sets at mics, and all of you should die.
Like, yeah, these are mostly, these are first run jokes.
Yeah. That's what this is about. Like, you know, putting your written jokes on the line.
Yeah.
Against someone else's written jokes.
Yeah, for the one time you're going to use those jokes.
Yeah. This is, you know, you're not building something here. Like, this is just for the show. So, I don't know.
I mean, that's why I like it so much, is like, it's not, I don't even think of it as mean. Like, it's just, I like the whole idea of like, okay, I'm going to write these jokes. I'm going to do these jokes and there's no, you know, they're either going to work or not.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about, you know, is this going to fit in my set? Because it's like, this just exists here. But at the same time, I've written thousands of jokes that, like, you know,
that you don't get anything out of anymore. Yeah, same. There's been a few things that you can sort of translate here and there.
Yeah. But yeah.
For example, Jeremy is a real Renaissance man. He's a gay pedophile.
A gay pedophile. How spicy, Chris Paw. Well, I would argue that Chris Paw is a dirty groomer. Because everybody that's queer is a groomer.
There's a new attempt to associate gayness or non-straight sexualities with... with pedophilia.
Which one of you assholes taught them that word?
Grooming?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the only time they know that that word exists at all, because they don't do it otherwise.
Yeah.
Get it? They're gross hillbillies.
Ah, the joke is that...
they don't actually groom themselves.
Yeah, I feel odd criticizing somebody's height, but...
I would have just a few short years ago... Really gotten it together, feeling myself.
You have. It is noticeable that you've gotten it together.
Good.
So
let them talk.
Yeah. Let them talk good things.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah. So yeah, then Joe Graham did his New Japan speech afterwards, and then I roasted everybody. And it was fun. And it seemed like everybody had a blast. And me and the sound guy talked a lot.
It's crazy. Like, every month we get, like, stressed out watching, like, the tickets and, like, response for on the events and stuff like that. And then it always works out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember a time that we didn't have a decent crowd, even, like... Maybe a few times that first year at Canopy.
Yeah.
I think Canopy was just a tougher place to get people out to. No bar.
Yeah. Once people figured out that they could bring their own beer, though, like...
That's when it kind of picked up there, yeah.
They were like, oh, you were serious about that, were you? And it's like, yes. Like, come on.
Yeah. I got drunk in that art gallery a bunch of times.
Yeah, me too.
You know what's weird is I want to say the second time we ever did this show was like as I was leaving, I got the news that my friend Brandon had died, and had a good show. Mm-hmm. And this week or this past one, I just found out about my friend Mark dying, and then the show was really good. Which I don't. I mean, we've had good shows when people didn't die.
Yeah,
but this time I was like, man, I'm a professional.
Well, you know, that show at Canopy, your friend died, but like my grinder fell out of my pocket and I lost like 2 years worth of Keith. So
yeah, that's the same thing. Both involved machines falling. My friends keep getting killed by deregulation and capitalism.
Yep.
I would say anyone whose most heroin addiction is a result of capitalism, vis-a-vis the pharmaceutical company pumping OxyContin into the country like it's fucking candy.
Yeah. It definitely made it...
They flooded the trailer parks with that just like they did crack in the 80s.
I will tell you, there was a barrier to entry with heroin prior to the introduction of OxyContin, in that you know, you didn't see regular ass people doing heroin. It was like an artsy thing or a black thing,
rock stars.
And then it's like, oh, you mean you can get through your life like doped out of your fucking mind and it's great?
Well, you know, most people I've talked to that have like been able to get clean from heroin, their story is usually they had some back injury, something happened, they were prescribed Oxy, got hooked on them. Heroin's cheaper than Oxy's on the street.
It used to be.
Is it the other way around now?
So with fentanyl, like now people are like marking up the charges on like, no, we actually have heroin. So now, like, getting actual heroin is expensive. Like,
because they actually test it.
Because it's like, no, this isn't fentanyl.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's a whole mess out there right now with, like, so stay off the hard drugs, kids. Like, you know. You can get a medical card now. Like, just enjoy some marijuana and be fine.
I've heard a couple times lately there's in this part of or in the greater Cleveland area, the cocaine is full of fentanyl currently.
Jesus fucking Christ. Please be careful, people.
It's going around.
Please be fucking careful.
Test strips. Harm reduction.
And like buy an 8-ball so it's like you have more cocaine to test.
Yeah, it's a great idea if you're gonna do it.
It's like it's real shitty. Like I got this gram and I'm gonna put a test strip in it, and now it's like half is gone. Like fuck.
Yeah, get a whole lot and test it. Just make sure you test it.
Yeah,
don't die.
Please don't die.
I'm tired of it. It's exhausting.
Yeah, man. And it's like, it's real hard to fucking like be like, oh, like, well, they were a shitty person. It's like, no, like, we've all done drugs. Like, it's just dangerous right now.
Yeah. I got no time for people that shit on drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your boundaries with them. You have to, you know, and stuff like that. But it's not always black and white.
It is not, despite people trying to paint it that way. Like binary thought is crazy brain nonsense, so you're gonna have to figure some shit out if you think that way.
You know what I legit believe is that humans don't all evolve at the same pace, and I think conservatives are people that are a few steps behind on evolution.
That's definitely a thought. Yeah.
Maybe they're a step ahead of people that just don't vote or pay attention at all, but...
Yeah.
I would argue, despite how many corrupt Democrats there are, the ideology is pretty fucking sound.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's it. That's the show.
Yeah. So we will be at the Rubber City Comedy Festival first week in May at Pharmacy. There are great shows happening all week, though. So Rubber City Comedy Festival, you have a festival pass for $60. It gets you in all the shows, including ours. So check that out.
You will be hearing this on Friday. I'll be putting Monday and Friday will be early. You're hearing this. This is the end of the week. So
yeah.
Never mind. I'll just cut that out when you finish talking.
Fair enough.
We don't have Tabitha here to sign off. Do you want to do a Shrek voice?
All right. A Shrek voice with a...
movie quote.
With a movie quote. Is that the bit? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Why so serious?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.